Y'all ready to pray? Let's do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding and enlightenment. And I thank you, Lord, for great men and women of God in the scriptures who give us such godly examples, Lord, of what a leader should be. I pray, Father, you help us tonight to grasp a hold of the kind of things, the principles that really matter. And Lord, help us to apply them in our life. And Lord, to impact many others in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a one-of-a-kind king. We're going to look at Josiah. He became king when he was 8 years old. Now, you might say, well, that's a one-of-a-kind. Yeah, it kind of is, but that's not really why I'm calling him the one-of-a-kind king. But can you imagine? I mean, what were you doing when you were eight? What were you like when you were eight? I mean, if you would have been king, what would you have done at eight? Yeah, we, you know, ice cream truck would have gone to come every day and given out free ice cream or something. I don't know. But this guy becomes king when he's 8 years old. But here's the amazing thing. You read his story, and by the way, you can read his story in 2 Chronicles beginning from chapter 34 and also in 2 Kings in chapter 23. But you read his story, and I'm just telling you, it is so, well, this is putting it in carnal terms, it's interesting. It's so interesting. But spiritually, it's absolutely amazing how that God used this young man. He's a one-of-a-kind king. Here's what 2 Chronicles 34, 1 and 2 says. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, I realize that doesn't sound all that significant. There were some other kings that did pretty good. And Scripture says something kind of like that. Not quite the same. But listen to what 2 Kings 23:25 says about him. Now, before him, there was no king like him. Wow. Before him, there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. In other words, he's one of a kind. There was none before him and none after him like him. So, when you're talking about leaders, this guy is somebody that we could learn from. He's really young, but we could learn from him, church. It's amazing the kind of leader that this young man was. And that's what set him apart. Not the fact that he was eight when he became king, but it was the kind of leader, the kind of king that he was. And you know, when you call him a one-of-a-kind king, I want you to hear me now. He's one of a kind. None before, none after. But I don't believe he's a one-of-a-kind leader. I think that we can learn from the same principles that he lived out in his life, we can live those principles out in our life and be a great leader. And we might not be king, but we can be a great leader to those that we lead if we'll apply the same kind of principles that he did. You know, sometimes in our culture, we don't think much of young leaders. Well, for good reason. Sometimes young leaders make a lot of dumb mistakes. So do older leaders. But anyway, you know, we just don't really give much regard or respect to young leaders. And it's not really a new thing. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years, in spite of the fact that scripturally, biblically, God has used so many young leaders. Like a young Joseph. God raises up to save his family, and the whole known world from a famine. Like a young David, young teenage boy, that God uses to slay Goliath and to turn the battle for Israel. like young Samuel, who hears the voice of God speaking to him. Another one that's alive in Josiah's time was Jeremiah. The Lord calls him his prophet, and he says, "Who am I? I'm just a child." The Lord says, "Don't say you're a child." There's so many that God has called and God has used and raised up at pivotal times. They were young people. And all I'm saying to you is that we need to realize that God can use young leaders. And if you're young, God can use you. And for those of us that are a little older, well, sometimes we need to acknowledge that God is using a young person in a mighty way. And here's this young man, Josiah, at 8. He becomes king. I'm sure he didn't really make any big decisions when he's 8 years old. You know, I'm sure it was just kind of a figurehead thing that there were other people who were actually running the show. But it wasn't long until he did step up and begin to have a real impact. But before we get to that, I just want to say this. We don't really know from the scripture exactly who it was that influenced him. I mean, if you look at his family, his grandfather and his father were some of the worst kings. So I don't think it was them. There's some indication that Manasseh, that right at the end of his life, that he kind of got things together. But anyway, I don't think it was from his family. It might have been, he seems to have been somewhat in relationship with the priest and also with the prophet. So maybe there were some spiritual leaders. But somehow or another, there was a spiritual influence in the life of this young king that had a real impact on him. And the only thing that I might say about him that give him some credit there is sometimes young leaders listen to the wrong people. Well, this one must have been listening to the right people. But we're going to read verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 34. It says, "For in the 8th year of his reign," so he's 16, "while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father, David." By the way, you notice here it says his father, David. Well, David is way, way up the line. But he's certainly not going to say the God of his actual father, because he didn't serve the Lord. But he's going to say David, because David really did serve the Lord. But it says that at 16, he began to seek the Lord. Here's the principle. We need leaders who will seek the Lord. You know, that ought to just be a given. But I'm telling you, in our culture, in our society today, we have so many would-be leaders who have good intentions. They got good ideas. They plan. They work hard. But when the dust settles, too often, there's no lasting fruit, no real change, no real impact. Because, listen, without the Lord, it's all for nothing. So if you want to lead a nation, if you want to lead a small group at church, or if you want to lead in the workplace, listen, let me tell you where you need to start. Seek the Lord. Don't try to do it on your own. No, you pray and you seek God first. That's what we need. Leaders who will seek the Lord. How did this guy become a one-of-a-kind king? He started off right. He started off seeking the Lord. You know, if we're going to lead anyone in any way, the first thing we should do is seek the Lord. I mentioned this before, but Jeremiah was prophet during part of Josiah's reign. In the book of Jeremiah, he tells the people, in fact, many of you remember this scripture, he tells them that if they'll seek the Lord with all their heart, they'll find him. Well, I think Josiah was one of those who did. He sought the Lord, and he found him. Next, we need leaders who will do what is right without compromise. We're going to read 2 Chronicles 34. Let's read from 3 on down through 7, the second half of verse 3 anyway. And in the 12th year, so he's 20 now. Wow, he's getting on up there now, right? He's 20. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence and the incense altars which were above them. He cut down and the wooden images and the carved images and the molded images. He broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem, and so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and Naphtali, and all around with axes. And when he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, he had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel. He returned to Jerusalem. Wow, at 20 years of age, this guy just went off the deep end. Who does he think he is? Now, I know that we might be thinking, well, big deal. Of course he should do that. I mean, you're going to serve God. That's the first thing you need to do is get rid of all those high places where they worship these false gods. And you might think it's no big deal, but let me tell you, these high places, many of them were established back under Solomon's reign. Remember how that Solomon's wives turned his heart away from the Lord? He established many of those high places. Let me tell you how far back that was. Over 340 years. 340 years of false idol, false god worship for the children of Israel. And listen, they weren't all bad kings. There were some good kings in there that it says that they served the Lord and did what was right. But every one of them, it'll say, but they still didn't take down the high places. Why didn't they? I'm telling you, and you know this if you've ever been in a position of leadership. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. Listen, those kings previously, they probably didn't take down the high place. They knew it was wrong, but they didn't take it down because they probably thought the people would revolt and kill them. And they might have. But this 20-year-old guy, he didn't have any sense. He thinks he can take them down no matter what anybody thinks about it. And he just goes at it. But here's the point. We need leaders who will do what's right without compromise, without fear of the consequences. You got to do what's right, what's biblically right. Next, we need leaders who will make worship a priority. I'm going to read. Well, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to give you the reference. You have the reference there. I'll let you read it later. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all these passages to you tonight. But now that the high places have been destroyed, he wants the temple cleansed and restored. So they begin to bring in money to repair, to restore the temple, to get everything back to the way that it's supposed to be. You see, you can't, here these people have worshipped these false gods for so many years. It's just been passed down generation to generation, and that's been taken away. Listen, that's not enough. Now you got to bring them back into true worship. And listen, church, we need this in our day. There is so much of this compromise and this attitude that, well, you know, as long as we're good people, love the Lord, you know, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to worship. What? Church, we need to get a hold of this principle. It's important that people worship God. It's not enough to just say, well, I don't worship false gods. Listen, there is inside every person a need to worship. You're going to worship something. And you might not have a gold statue you bow down to, but I'm telling you, if you don't give your love and adoration and even your time, your treasure, and your talent to God, you'll give it somewhere else. We need that kind of worship. And so Josiah thought it was important to restore the temple, to restore worship. Now, we're not even going to get to this. It's later on in the next chapter. But he also restored the principle of them receiving or taking the Passover, something that hadn't been done for hundreds of years. And he brings that back. You know, here's this young king, and he's doing what appears to be new things. And you know, a lot of times, if you're going to lead, you got to be willing to do new things. That's all there is to it. If you're going to do the same old thing that everybody else has done, well, you're not leading. You're just following, doing what everybody else has done. If you're going to lead, you're going to have to be willing to do some new things. But that's my clarification, all right? You got to be willing to do some new things. But here's what I want to get to, though. Listen, sometimes there are things that we need to go back to. Sometimes there are, listen, there are standards, there are values, and there are even methods that we need to go back to. Here's the popular thing today amongst preachers and pastors is, oh, well, as long as we keep the biblical truth the same, it doesn't matter what the methods are. It does when there's a biblical method. See, I didn't get any amens out of that, but I'm telling you, biblical standards and values matter. We all go, amen. Biblical methods matter. I'm not talking about man-made methods. I'm not talking about, well, this is the way my granddaddy did. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about biblical methods. There's such a pattern of compromise in the church today in the name of reaching people that it doesn't matter, you know, doesn't matter how we get them here. Listen, if they're not coming to encounter God, what are we giving them? That's what we got is Jesus. If you want something besides that, you better go on down the road somewhere else. We're not going to trump something up and try to minister carnal things to people. What is all that fluff? I'm just telling you, there are certain biblical methods that do matter. Did you know God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? It doesn't seem like the way we do it in this culture now. I'm telling you, biblical methods matter. And you see, Josiah took the people back to real worship. He restored that. We need leaders today that know how valuable, how important that is. It's not enough to just clean up your act, be a good person. No, you need a real relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God. That worship needs to be a priority in your life. We need leaders We need leaders who will say, you know what, our business is not going to be open on Sunday. I don't care what it costs us. We're not going to be open on Sunday. We need leaders like that who will just draw a line and say, you know what, I want my employees to be able to go to church, period. And if I go under because of that, let me tell you, nobody's ever gone under because they honored the Lord's Day. It's never happened. What has happened over and over and over is that when people will draw a line and make worship a priority, that God blesses them. It happens over and over again. That poor Chick-fil-A, I hope they don't go under. Man. The only thing I don't like about that place is you got to wait in line. I don't ever go, but when I hear somebody's going, I say, hey, bring me back something. That's right. But we need leaders who will make worship a priority. Need leaders who will live according to God's word. Now, you know, when people do bad, you know how one bad thing leads to another? Yeah, I mean, you start down the wrong road and, you know, it just has a chain reaction. One bad thing leads to another. Do you know it's kind of that way with good things too? And so when they're cleansing the temple, when they're restoring the temple, they find this book, they call it. And I'm just telling this story. You can read it later, but they find this book. Guess what it is? It's the Word of God. And so it's because they were restoring the temple that they find this book. And they begin to read it. And this is what happened. I'm going to read verse 19 of chapter 34. It says, "Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes." I hear this guy's, you know, he's already been seeking the Lord and doing a lot right, but they haven't read from the Word of God in probably hundreds of years. And they start reading from this book, and he realizes how much sin, how much wrong has been in their country, in their land. And in repentance and humility, he tears his clothes. Tears his kingly robes. I mean, it was true and earnest repentance. And he sends for a prophetess to find out what they should do. And I want to read to you the word of the Lord that the prophetess gave to them. 2 Chronicles 34, 27 and 28. It says, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants." Now, I want you to understand that this man had such a heart to obey God. And we need leaders like that who don't make excuses, who don't water down the principles of the word, who don't, in the name of trying to make it culturally relevant, change what the word of God says to fit what they want it to say. Instead, we hold to the truth of God's word, and when our lives don't line up, that it brings repentance, that it breaks us. You ever tried to correct somebody? And when you did, all they would do is make excuses and rationalizations, justifications. How do you think the Lord feels about it when we hear his word and instead of being tender, having a tender heart, instead of being truly repentant, humbling ourselves, we make excuses and justifications, rationalization. I'm telling you, we need those kind of leaders who will just take the word of God and live by it without any excuses, without any regrets. I'm telling you, people need to see that, how we need those kind of leaders. I'm talking about a one-of-a-kind king. I hope it's not a one-of-a-kind leader in our generation when you live by the Word of God. But it is a rare thing. It's not everybody that's willing to truly live by the Word of God. But the word of the Lord to him was that he would die in peace and that the calamity, the destruction, the judgment that was going to come wouldn't come in his lifetime. Leaders, real leaders, lead even when nobody follows. We need leaders that will lead even when others don't follow. And I shouldn't say nobody, but let me just say this. When there are so many that are not following, we need leaders who will lead anyway. Because you see, in all the good that Josiah did and all the right that he did. And he demanded that the people tear down those high places and the altars. He demanded that the people restore the temple. He demanded that they obey the word of God. He just commanded them, you're going to serve God. You're going to obey God. It wasn't an option. But in spite of all of that, there were so many that in their hearts, they still weren't really serving the Lord. You know, leaders have to be willing to go against the flow. If you're going with the flow, you're not a leader. You're just a follower. If you're gonna lead, there's gonna be times when you gotta go against the flow. And sometimes in leadership, it's really best to make change slowly and bring about change slowly. And you know, the more people you're talking about, the longer it can take. It's like turning around a big ship. You don't do it in a day. I mean, it takes a little bit of time to really bring change. But listen, when it comes to sin and compromise, when it comes to doing what's right, it can't take a long time. You got to just do it. It's kind of like pulling a Band-Aid off. You just got to get it over with. And that's what Josiah did. If there's disobedience, you just have to do it now. When you're not doing God's will, you can't wait. You just got to change it and do God's will. And the people needed that drastic change. In fact, by the word of that prophetess, it's evident in some other passages too, it was because of Josiah's influence. Remember, leadership is influence? This one-of-a-kind king, it was because of his influence that the judgment didn't come until after he was gone. And I'm just telling you that we got to be willing, if we're spiritual leaders, we got to be willing to stand up, go against the flow, got to be willing to do the right thing, even when there are many that don't follow. And like I said, for these people, it was kind of like the mom who tells the kid, sit down or I'll spank you. And the kid saying, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing up. That's kind of the way they were. You know, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, sort of, but their hearts still weren't right with God. And that's why the calamity, the destruction, was still going to come. There's a cartoon in the New Yorker sometime back, and it kind of gives a picture of the way things are in our society right now, where a kid is in a math class at the chalkboard with other students, and the teacher's written out the problem, 7 times 5 equals. Well, all the other students, of course, put 35. But this kid, he puts 75. What? Well, the kid says, it may be wrong, but that's how I feel. And we're living in a time where it doesn't matter what the truth is, doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, it's how I feel. And I'm just telling you, we need people, we need leaders who will lead even when nobody else follows, even when society says, oh, you're just too crazy, you're too radical. I can assure you, this guy's the most radical king they had had in over 340 years, but he was just what they needed, even though some of them didn't know it. Last, we need leaders who will leave a legacy. Now, I just told you how that the destruction's coming. So I'm just telling you, he didn't change everybody. He didn't make his mark on everybody. Well, I believe he did in a way. They all had an opportunity to get right with God. But after he passed away, after he was killed, It was just a few years until they were overtaken by the Babylonians. They were taken into captivity. But think about this. I know many of you know the story. In Babylonian captivity, there were four young men who stood up for God, who stood out for God. Anybody ever heard of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You realize that they were part of the heritage of Josiah, that they came out of the revival that came during Josiah's reign. He left a legacy. And I'm just telling you that we need those kind of leaders who will do what's right, even if, listen, there'll be some that don't follow, but there'll be some whose lives you've impacted and left a legacy for others. This is a one-of-a-kind king. But I believe you can be a one-of-a-kind father in your home. Amen? One-of-a-kind worker in the workplace and make a real difference because you follow these simple principles. Start with this one. Seek the Lord. Just seek the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have called each one of us. Lord, you've gifted each one of us. You have anointed each one of us for certain things. And I pray, Father, that you would just use us in a mighty way. I pray, Lord, that those good works that you have before ordained for us, Lord, that we would fulfill every one of them. Lord, that we would accomplish all that you have given us to do. I pray, Father, that in this room tonight, you raise up great leaders, Lord, that truly serve you with all their heart, just as Josiah did. And Lord, that we would please you in everything we say and do. I thank you, Lord, for the impact, for the fruit of our lives. Lord, that it will not be in vain, but our fruit will remain in Jesus' name. And Lord, may you be glorified in it all. Amen. Amen. Well, stand with me, and I'm just going to let you be dismissed. If you'd like special prayer tonight, I'd be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you.